Good morning. Turn to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Okay. Let's get some scriptures here. Isaac's going to read Matthew 8, 5 through 13. Casey, Matthew 8, 9. Antonio, Matthew 8, 10. Gabe, Matthew 10, or 8, 13. Dwayne, Acts 19, 15. Brian is going to read Matthew 8, 9 the second time. Nigel, Matthew 8, 9 the third time. Zach, Matthew 8, 8. This Brian, Matthew 8, 13. David, Mark 9, 25. Colby, Mark 7, 33 and 34. In this story, Jesus shows what we need in life. He shows the potential that there is in life, and he shows the power of what we're going to talk about this morning is spiritual authority. And this is something that you need in absolutely every area of your life. So let's read our main verse, Matthew 8, 5 through 13.
Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way. As you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour.
Okay, spiritual authority. Let's talk about the basis of life. The centurion. Centurion is a Roman commander. He's over. He has soldiers under him. He has a need. Anybody here, you don't have a need in whatever area of life? And he comes to Jesus to ask for help. And that is common. Of course, that's a picture of prayer. But more importantly here, the Bible says that Jesus, depending on your translation, he marveled. When you can amaze Jesus, that must be something very notable. So this man, having a need, is common to every single person. Asking for help is common to most people. But Jesus marvels because he says, this man understands how all of life works. He understands how spiritual power works. I have a need, so I need spiritual power to come into my life. Good. But he gets it. He says, how it's going to come into my life is on the basis of authority. Matthew 8, 9.
For I am also a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.
Okay. Authority. And then he explains authority. Authority is like this. I can determine what happens. I say, go here, he goes. Do this, do that. So, someone who has authority determines what happens in life. He didn't just roll up at the barracks one day. What's going to happen today? I don't know. Let's just see. He says, no, I determine what happens. That is a very good picture of what authority means. Authority means the right to rule or the right to use power. It literally means to put your foot on. Great picture in Joshua, off the top of my head, I think it's chapter 10, they bring the enemy kings out of the cave, and Joshua says, put your foot on their neck. That is literally what authority means, is by putting your foot on the neck. These kings used to determine what happened in the area, not anymore. We determine what happens. So that's what he says. In my life, I say to this soldier, go there, he will go. This servant, come here, he will come. That is what authority is. So he understands that is actually how the kingdom of God operates. God doesn't just help you because you have a need. Every single person in the world has a need. He doesn't help you only on the basis of asking, although we should do that. He says it comes through spiritual authority. There is a supernatural dimension, what God is going to do in you, what God is going to do for you, what God is going to do through you is going to be on the basis of authority. So you have to understand that in life. Now, Jesus says you can't have authority without faith. Verse 10, Matthew 8, 10.
When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel.
Okay, so he connects this. Faith and authority go together. You cannot have authority without having faith. So we learn here, and I'm not going to go into an entire treatise on faith, but we see here, number one, this man understands faith is not based on works. I am not coming and saying, I have been really, 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 really good, so therefore you owe me. Right? He doesn't say, do you know how many days in a row I made prayer? Do you know how many chapters of the Bible I read this week? That's not what he says. So he understands, and I think in another instance, the Jewish religious leaders, they brought a centurion. It may even be a companion story to this, or a fuller exposition of the same story. This guy, you should help him because of what he did. He likes Jewish people, which is amazing for an Italian. And secondly, he gives money. So therefore, you got to help a guy like that. But that's not what this guy says. I don't deserve it. It's not on the basis of my works. He actually is coming based solely on Jesus' goodness. That is the essence of faith. If you're coming giving God a bill, you owe me. And make sure you add a tip, because I've been such a good servant this week, then that's not faith, that's works. And that's what Romans says. Are you doing this on the basis of a debt, or are you doing it on the basis of who God is? And then secondly, faith is confidence in Jesus' power. And I'm giving you an oversimplification. Faith is confidence in Jesus' goodness. Faith, secondly, is confidence in Jesus' power. This man is... His servant is sick at the point of, he's about to die. That means it must be bad. He doesn't say, look, he's got a cold. He's got a sniffle. His tummy is a little sore. No, he's about to die. But he says, you can change that. I know that. You have to have that in life. You are going to face financial struggles. You're going to face marital struggles. You're going to face relational struggles. You're going to face fruitfulness battles. You're going to face problems in every area of your life. You have to believe at the end of the day, Jesus is more powerful than what's going on in my life. If you have that faith and you understand that the kingdom operates on authority, now authority is able to flow. Let's talk secondly about under authority. So this man, the reason why he could understand the principle of authority, spiritual authority, he said, authority flows out of the fact that I am under authority. Matthew 8, 9.
For I too am a man under authority, having soldiers under my command. I say to this one, go, and he goes, and another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it.
Okay, so he is going to explain to Jesus his understanding of authority, which is, you know, I can tell a guy, do this, he'll do it. Come here, he will come. So I can determine that. But he begins by saying, the only reason why I have that power is I am under authority. I also live in authority. So, think about this. Number one, he was under the authority of Jesus. Verse 13, Matthew 8, 13.
Then Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, let it be done for you." And his servant was healed that same hour.
Okay, so remember, how did the story begin? Jesus, come to the house and heal the servant. But that's not what Jesus does. He says, go. Go away. And he does it. He doesn't, no, Jesus. I have a much better plan. You should definitely be at my house. So, Jesus says something. He obeys. So that means he's submitted to authority. You have to respond in obedience in order to have authority. Listen, you're never going to get the devil to listen to you if you won't listen to Jesus. Does that make sense? Right? Devil, you gotta let go of my finances. But why? You won't even listen to Jesus. So why should I listen to you? You're not under authority. We find this in Acts 19:15.
And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you?"
Okay, so that was the problem of men who came and trying to cast out demons. Demons, you should leave. They go, "Why? You don't even listen to Jesus. So why should we listen to you?" That's true. If the basic, I'm not talking about being perfect. This is not a lesson on perfection. You can have a lot of problems. But if the basic orientation of your life is submission to Jesus Christ, that is where authority begins, and that is where authority flows out of. Secondly, is under authority means you have to be under the authority of others. Verse 9.
"For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. To my servant, do this, and he does it."
Okay, if I was to walk onto a military base, you know, what's the nearest one here? Luke Air Force Base. If I go to Luke Air Force Base, if I walked in today and I started saying to these airmen, hey, come over here. They're like, why should we listen to you? Who are you? Because I am not under the authority of their commanders. It won't work. They will not listen to me. Every man here, you have people over you in life. And I know in American independence and pride, we don't like that idea of someone higher than me. But life operates in, there's a word, it's called hierarchy. There are heights. The person flipping the burgers, I went and had McDonald's yesterday with my grandsons. And so the people flipping the burgers have supervisors. They have managers. They have people over them. You have bosses that are over you. You have, if you're in management, you have someone that's higher up, and et cetera, et cetera. In every area of life, you have people. And the point of someone who we say is over you, this man said, "I have people under me," but he said, "I also am under." That means they can direct my life. Not only I can tell this guy, but I have people who can say to me, right? That some of you have a boss. He can say, "I want you here at a certain time. I want you to do this. I want you to go there." That is authority. They're exercising authority. And so the problem with us is that we all have a rebellious streak. Every person has rebellion. That's the essence of sin. If you say someone is a sinner, we're not talking about meth, bank robbery, adultery. We're talking about rebellion. Everything flows out of it. We're rebels. That's the problem. So in pride, many times, we think, why should I do what you say? Because I know better. I always love that as the pastor, when I hear comments from people who have never pastored in their life, but they want to explain how the whole church should be run. Like, okay, that's what a concept. You've never done this. As a matter of fact, most things in your life suck at the moment, but we should do it the way you say so, because you think that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. I mean, you understand where I'm coming from. Or we have people who have a bad experience with authority, right? And this happens. Someone, well, that was a parent, a boss, a pastor, God forbid, but someone who burned you in the past and they had authority. So now, don't tell me what to do, man. And it's like, how many years ago was that? What, you're now not going to have authority because someone treated you badly back in the dark ages? No, God's not going to let you off. He didn't say, look, you don't have to, everybody else has to be under authority, but you had a bad experience, so you get to rule your own life. No, it doesn't work that way. So, very simply, this man says, our authority is dependent on being under authority. I want authority. I want the right. I have problems in my finances, in my marriage, in my fruitfulness, in whatever it is. Jesus and authority, you can speak words to change that, but that is dependent on whether or not you are under authority. So, if in your life you reject the authority of bosses, supervisors, pastors, people in over you in ministry or whatever, you're simply going to struggle in having personal spiritual authority. Matthew 8, 9.
For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and my servant, do this, and he goes.
Okay. I'm under authority, so therefore, that's why this man could say to soldiers, go there, because it's not just him. You know, I'm going to do it because I like your smile. That's not why. It's because they understood above him was, in the Roman system, they had, centurions and proconsuls and emperors, and it's all the way to the top. So that's why we're going to listen to you, is because you also have commanders. If you don't listen, then we're not going to listen. So, very simple. The practical outflow of this is if in your life there is a power lack, I understand sometimes that's a fight the devil's fighting, but you should examine whether or not there is an authority problem. We should bow our heads right there. Amen. Okay. Let's talk finally about authority released. So this scripture says authority, it's practical. It's not just a theory. It releases a miracle dimension that changes things. So authority then, now let's get practical, is God backing up what you say. That's what you want. You say something, God says, I agree, you can't change it, but I can and I will supply something supernatural. Matthew 8:8.
The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed.
Okay. A word can be spoken and God will back that up with all of the power of God. Verse 13.
Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour.
Okay, so Jesus says it's done. And it was. The power of God was triggered. Okay, interesting in this scripture that, of course, authority is shown in miracle healing. This man understood in order for healing to occur, it doesn't come by begging God to do something. Healing comes by taking authority. So, very simple lesson that we learn about authority and healing, because that's the immediate outflow, is number one, healing occurs by taking authority over the spirit causing the problem. Mark 9:25.
When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more.
So Jesus doesn't say, pretty please, with sugar on top, would you heal this person? I'm begging, begging, begging you. No, Jesus addresses the spirit. He was deaf and dumb. Can't hear, can't speak. But Jesus speaks to the spirit, you will come out. And that happened. So he commands the spirit causing the problem in sickness to leave. You heard me say one of actually was the very first crusade I ever preached. I had one total miracle to my name. at that time that God had done through me, and so I advertised international healing evangelist Greg Mitchell, which was, it looked awesome on the flyer, but when they were bringing in sick people, it was, I'm looking through the curtains thinking, oh, what have I done? So you heard of a woman had in her hand, she said, I closed my hand, I can't open it. She'd been operated 4 times already, facing a 5th surgery. I can't cook, I can't clean, I can't take care of my kids. And so when she closed it, and I heard that she pulled it, and you would audibly, it would pop as it opened. I pray, oh Jesus, I'm asking that you would heal this woman. Close her hand, nothing. It's closed. She starts to cry because now it's surgery. She's frustrated, and just something rose up in me. I didn't have any book telling me to do this. I got mad while they're praying as I pulled her hand close to my mouth, and I said, you foul demon, come out of her right now. And instantly her hand opened. I was like, whoa, that's, you know, I changed my prayer from that moment in time. That is authority. Number two, healing is commanding the body to function properly. Mark 7, 33 and 34. Okay, be open. So who or what is Jesus talking to? His ears, his tongue. Open. And the body responded. And so that is that's a second profound principle of healing. So, this is true. Years ago, I was the first one from our fellowship to preach in Romania. Went there, they had a group of almost all young people, and because of flights, long story, I couldn't stay for the final night of the crusade. We had a fantastic crusade. I think I had 1,000 people saved. It was unbelievable. And so on the final night, I couldn't stay. So I said to him the second to last night, bring your people and I will teach them how to pray. So they showed up, and I had less than 10 minutes to it. Now I'm going to explain healing in 10 minutes. So I basically told them what I just told you. Look, command the spirit to leave and command the body to function properly. There you go. That's all the time I got for. Let's try. And that night I brought the people on stage and I said, these people are going to pray. And a girl, she was a teenager at that time. What's Matthias' wife? Is that Dory? Dory Kipfer. She was a teenager, a totally blind woman. She did exactly what I just said. She commanded that blind spirit to leave and commanded the eyes to see, and the blind lady saw. Wow. Mary, she didn't need a class. She didn't need to read books. That's authority. Okay, final thought. It's interesting to me that authority and dominion is connected to healing. So here's my point. I'm making this broader than healing. Spiritual authority is transferable. We know that. David said, I fought a lion, I fought a bear, so I can fight a giant. I've never fought a giant before, but if I could beat a lion and a bear, it also will work with giants. It's transferable. That's true. Now, Jesus applies authority here in sickness. The reason why that's important is if you can have dominion over sickness, you can have dominion over any spirit. What is the demon spirit that is holding back your life at the moment? Is it poverty? Is it barrenness? Whatever. If you can get people healed, you can also get your finances released. Cause fruitfulness to be released. So, therefore, healing is an excellent testing ground or proving ground for disciples. That's why I encourage every disciple. I want to be used by God. Pray for the sick. Pray for the sick because it's a heck of a lot of fun. Did you enjoy yourself last night? Okay, it isn't. It is an incredible feeling. I mean, the first time I saw a miracle and I had anything, all I did was say some words. I had no power, but I'm telling you what, I don't even know if I slept that night. I'm telling friends and family, I want to stop people in the grocery store. You won't believe what God did. His leg grew. It's a lot of fun, but more importantly than that is what it does for you. So, number one, it's a testing ground. Do I have any authority in life? I look for this in disciples. If there's nothing miraculous in you, I have good men that come to me. I want to preach. It's like, I don't see anything supernatural in you. You struggle financially. You struggle in sickness. You struggle in fruitfulness. You struggle in everything. So now you want us to put bucket loads of money in you. For what? So you'll struggle? That doesn't make sense. You need to demonstrate that you have some authority. You don't have to have the whole package, right? You don't have to have every single thing in life. What you need is to be able to point like David did, is I saw something change in this area. Therefore, I can see it change in that area. Secondly, healing is an excellent training ground, because what do you do when there's struggle? You heard me say, when I first began to pray for the sick, no one got healed. Zero. Tummies didn't feel better. 2 weeks later, nothing. So what do? You go, do you change your theology? Do you quit? Do you say, that doesn't work for me? Do you backslide? Or do you lay hold of God and press in? It's excellent training ground. I've got to get a breakthrough in this area. What do you believe? It's a wonderful test of your faith. Because if I ask you, do you believe in healing? I don't think there's anybody here. Not me. Well, so you're going to nod your head. Okay, but what happens when you're praying and it's not working? At the end of the day, you have to lay hold of God's word. That's where miracles were originally released in me, is God's word says, this is what I believe. That's why I could pray for people for 3 months straight every service and not quit, because I had laid hold of God's word. This is the will of God. So I urge every one of you that you need to press in and develop spiritual authority. Healing is an outstanding starting place there. Okay, let's open for some questions. Something you want to ask.
Earlier you had said that you need to have faith with authority, but how do those two go together?
Well, faith actually would come first. You can't have authority without faith, right? So, you know, based on number one, what is the basis of your faith? Is it you, or is it God and His will and His love? Secondly, faith, do you believe that God has power in spite of what you see? So that's where it begins. Actually, you cannot have authority without faith. You start with faith. Authority flows from faith. Yeah. Somebody else. Yeah, you know, laziness and pride. You know, part of praying for the sick is pride. Because it's a bummer when, you know, you heard me tell about praying for the blind man. This ain't working. Where's Jesus? Right? That's embarrassing. So, you know. So you have to, hey, Jesus can heal you. And then when you pray and it didn't work. So pride is a lot of it. Yeah, but laziness, sure. Sure, it can be. It is... like most good things in life, take work. That's the unfortunate reality of life. Tony.
Is authority and dominion similar?
They're actually just two words for the same thing. Yep. Dominion, authority, or the authority is the right to use power. Dominion is the right to rule. But how do you rule? By using someone else's power. So they're basically the same word. Just using different places, different ways. I
thinking.
David.
So you mentioned that at different times you can have lack of authority in different areas. Is there something that you do to try to maintain awareness of different areas of your life where something might be lacking or slipping?
Well, really, lack is circumstantial, right? It's not like I have to go through a checklist. Do I have authority today? Is like everything is breaking and the bank is calling. I probably have a financial problem, right? There's sickness, someone's in the hospital. That's it's circumstantial. Circumstances reveal. That's always true in life. And no matter what happens in life, it reveals you. In the current COVID crisis, one of the things that's being revealed is people's hearts are being revealed, isn't it? It's astounding to me how things that were clearly always in people's hearts, but COVID is revealing it, right? There are people who are not in church who should be and have no reason to not come. But it's COVID has revealed. I mean, I'm going broader than your question, but circumstances always reveal. Right? The storm in the lake, Jesus, we're all going to die. Where is your faith? Right? So the storm revealed you. And that's true in life. So in one sense, that is, the devil assaults. On the other hand, it's God helping us. And sometimes God broadens you. He broadens your horizons, right? Most of us get areas we're more comfortable with. And so then God broadens us circumstantially by, as like I'm okay on healing, but I suck at money, right? So then God helps us with financial crisis so that I have to deal with this. That's good. The devil is the one who assaults, but God allows it because that revealed I need to work on money. Or some people are fantastic with money, lousy in healing or fruitfulness or, relationships. It's all circumstances revealed.
How do you avoid reacting incorrectly when you step out in faith and try to exercise authority and things, and people don't get healed? When it doesn't work right away, how do you view that with people?
Well, number one, you can't make it a pride issue. So number one, no one will win every time. That's actually God helping us, right? If every single thing we prayed for worked fantastically, our heads, this building of 82,000 square foot would not hold our heads, right? So in that, it's like a self-ego adjustment, which is okay. You don't take it personally. I know men that they refuse, in my history, I know men that refused to pray for the sick for that very reason. They prayed one time, didn't work, flipped them out. So, nope, I'm not doing that anymore. So, mostly it's pride. I can't. So, I in compassion, if we're talking about someone you know and love, you're working with long term, I will struggle with them, try to help them, pray for them, pray with them, try to come to a conclusion. On the other hand, at the end of the day, I'm not in charge. So my job is to declare, my job is to step out. So in that way, you heard me tell as a young pastor, I preached in Tucson and God told me to pray for Harold Warner in a conference in front of everybody. Harold obviously did not get healed, but God told me to do it. So obviously that was for me. It actually wasn't about Harold, it was about me. And my willingness to step out and obey God. So I can't, Harold, I was in front of 1,000 people and he didn't get better, so I'm never going to pray for the sick. No, I'm not in charge of that. I did what God told me to do. On the other hand, so you have that element. On the other hand, it's a good thing to, am I doing it incorrectly? Right? So you learn. Healing is also an art. That's one essence. So Could I do it better? Should I pray differently? Was there something I was missing? And you begin to learn those things. That can be part of it. Or, as I say, it can be a self-examination, right? I gave you a challenge. Are you under authority? If there's a power problem, check to see where there's a submission problem, right? Are you a rebel against your boss? Are you a rebel against your pastor, against those over you in ministry? Then, those are things that need to be corrected and repented of. Right, so it's not a one. God has deliberately made certain things vague so that you have to wrestle with them. They're not easy. You can't come. Someone can't come to me, Pastor. I prayed for the guy. He didn't get it. It's because it's not meant to be like that. I don't know. You got to struggle through. That's healthy. So it's all good.
When praying for authority, would you also pray for wisdom? For God to guide you through that, and
yeah.
then for a steadfast spirit to withstand any failures you go through.
Yeah, sure. Right. Yeah, and I pray for everything. but I mean, in a practical, I've been praying for the sick for many years, but that's one of the that is a practical prayer that I pray. I always pray for wisdom in every area, but in that, God show me. I think God wants to give us. More miracles. He wants to give us greater miracles. God, help me. If there's something I need to know in order to bring that about, show me. Yeah, absolutely. So that's part of the teachable. Yeah, being teachable.
So back to what you were saying about the authority comes by you being under authority and being obedient. So if you hadn't have prayed for Pastor Warner, God would say, if you're not going to listen to me,
Yeah, to him who has, more shall be given. And that's the bottom line. There are specific points. You heard me say years ago, the guy who dropped a metal mold or something on his foot, and his foot was in pain, and God told me to step on his foot. And I knew he was not going to be very happy about this. but I, and God does that. He doesn't, God is not going to tell you the first day to punch someone. Smith Wigglesworth story or something. He gives you small tests. Okay, do that. All right, now I can tell you more. It's very important to listen to God because it's bigger than the issue. It's life training. That's the point. Praying for Pastor Warner, that was life training. There are so many things in my life that then later on God could tell me to go to South Africa. There are things that God has told me that are life-altering. But if you were to peel back the onion, you'd go back, okay, I obeyed here. Then later on I was able to obey there. It's a progression. First the blade, then the ear, then the corn in the ear, right? Or the grain in the ear. Somebody else?
I think you already touched on this. If you have authority, I feel like for me, I have authority over finances. I pray for something, or me and my fiance will pray specifically for something for finances, and we'll have immediate breakthrough. But then we'll pray for something for healing, and we'll never have any breakthrough with that. We'll pray for finances specifically, and it'll immediately, But then when it comes to healing, we're just is anything going to happen?
Okay, so first of all, let's see whether my teaching is effective. So based on what I taught, how would you apply what I just said? What do you think should change in the way that you pray based on what I said?
I don't know. As far as authority goes, I feel like we pray the same for both as far as commanding, commanding that there's money and flow of that, but compared to healing.
Yep. So, but this then comes back to a faith issue. So, you have to use your brain in life, in all of it. Be a thinker. You've heard me say, to be a preacher, to be a man of God, you got to be a thinker. So, based on what I just said, that's what David did. He correctly applied, God, I can defeat a lion and a bear, so therefore, I'm going to believe you in this area. So that is true. So that is true in that God, you are able to God. A miracle is a miracle is a miracle. He doesn't go healing, or in your case, finances, no sweat. Healing, he's not. It all is supernatural, right? So it's really in us to develop faith. You apply, God, if you're able to do that, therefore I am believing that you're able to do that, and I'm not going to settle for anything else. When I, the very first miracle I got, I was thinking and applying spiritual logic, and that is, God, it works for Harry Hills. You don't love Harry more than me. That's a Bible scripture, right? He's no respecter. So therefore, if you'll do it for Harry, you'll do it for me. And in the name of Jesus, come. And it did. So that's kind of, I am applying spiritual logic. And therefore, a lot of it comes back to, Gabe, is what we'll settle for. Is you struggle. So then what do you do? Do you just shut that off and go, well, I'm not good at that area? Or do you say, I have to get a breakthrough there? But in one sense, you're ahead of the game. If God is already helping you in other areas, it's transferable, right? There are people that they don't see any miracles of healing. They don't see any fruitfulness. They don't see any help financially. So they're having to start from scratch. You're not. You're already seeing the help of God, the power of God. So therefore, you're able to apply it. Say, God, it's the same to you. Therefore, I'm believing you in healing as well. Yeah? Good.
Can healing occur in individuals that don't have faith necessarily?
Uh-huh. Absolutely. Which is what the gift of healing is for. We talk about the gift of healing. You can have somebody healed and never use the gift of healing at all, because it is dependent on you and their faith combined. But you have a need, go to the elders of the church, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. But then you have someone who, they have no faith. Why? Because they're a sinner. They have no faith because they're unconscious, right? Glenn Cluck right now is intubated. And is in an induced coma. He cannot exercise faith, so we have to pray for him, right? God has to do a miracle for him, and he can't participate in that faith. So now that's a gift, the gift of healing. You're praying for somebody mentally impaired, someone in a coma. That's a gift of healing. So yes, people can be healed without faith, without their participation in faith. Sinners in particular, which is why in crusades, you get visitors get healed, because God is honoring his word, showing his love in order to bring them to salvation.
And in crusades, you're trying to trigger that faith through, your message and
sure.
Testimonies.
Yeah, we do, and yet there are sinners there that don't really have any faith, right? They've never seen this before. I pray for people, they've never seen a healing in their life. Like, can I pray for you? Like, okay. I prayed for sinners and they get healed, and their response is, what the blank did you just do? So that wasn't very spiritual. They had no clue. So clearly God was not honoring their spirituality, right? Is the God was helping them. Good questions.
So you had said how you had prayed for the sick for 3 months before you saw a breakthrough.
Yep.
So is authority the kind of thing you can't get overnight, or you got to work on it, or can it be?
No. You could have it instantly. I mean, there's in each individual person, in each individual place, there are different circumstances. Number one, you have to understand, I had seen one miracle ever in my life. So I didn't have a file of, oh yeah, that's like what happens in the crusade in Oceanside, or that's it. I didn't see it. I saw one miracle ever in my whole life. So I didn't have a file for it. Number two, I had never seen a miracle. And number three, I took over a church where they were extremely resistant to believing God because of their, they were so discouraged. So I think that was, and then four, I was in an environment where the pastors and the leaders around me did not. They were not in favor of healing even. So those factors together probably made it more of a struggle. So that's not the case for you. You've seen many miracles. You're in an atmosphere. You actually, some of the things that I just taught you were things I had to learn. I had never seen. No one told me how to do that. I had to struggle through those things. Pastor Mitchell talks about that, how exciting it was when we first began to pray for the sick, and we'd be calling back and forth like, we learned last night. Hey, we should do this. Very exciting. So no, it's not like you cannot have a miracle for 3 months. You could have a miracle today. Absolutely. So, David?
How much of a role does self-discipline or just kind of consistency play in?
I think over time it plays in. Dominion is actually more based on faith. I know undisciplined slobs, right? I know people that are extremely obese and God does miracles for them. So clear as I, hey, lose 20 pounds and I'll listen to you, What happens over time, I think. So you lack of discipline plays out over time. With people, with yourself, with the devil, that's too lengthy to explain. But it's not something temporary. Like I cannot have discipline until I lose 50 pounds. No, you could have a miracle dimension authority today, but in the long term, you better have some self discipline, or you'll begin to struggle in ways. Yes. Yeah, sure, but that's what I say. This God is very individual, isn't he? Yeah. So he'll work with you in ways he doesn't work with me, and that's okay because you have different needs. He handcrafts his work in our life. That's the love of God. He knows exactly what we need, and he will work on us. And yeah, so I have no problem understanding that could be true, that you made some decisions because that's clearly what God is doing in you. But you asked me a generalized question. In general, no, it's not true for most people. That may be true for you. Okay, I want to do two things. Number one, as I told you, Pastor Glenn Cluck has got COVID. He's been in the hospital now for 16 days. He's in an induced coma on a ventilator. Very, very serious. And he's got, I got an email from Jesse this morning. He's got air bubbles around his heart or something. He's got, his oxygen levels are terrible. He is very, very sick. So we are going to take dominion on behalf of Brother Clark. We're going to ask God to do a miracle for him right now. Okay? I want you to pray. Let's pray together right now.
God, in the name of God,
I need you to do a miracle. In the name of Jesus, God, I rebuke death. I speak life into his body. God, raise him up. Devil, you're a liar. I bring every curse to which you like. God, do a miracle. Give the doctors wisdom, but God, not my own. The doctors have it. I speak life. I command his body to be oxygen is alive. Healing power in his body. I speak the name of the Lord. Do a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. And then I want you to, you please continue to pray that we must have a breakthrough in our brother's life. The second thing I want to do is There are some people here that you need healing. Who is it? Alex, you said your back. Stand up. Stand up. I want some men near him. Put your hand on his back. I want you to pray for him right now. And let's believe God for healing right now. God, I amen. Check it. Check it. What do you got to do? Bending is normal. Leaving? Yeah. Yeah. I can't do that. You couldn't do that before.
No, it keeps coming back, and it was I feel like there's like a little tiny like tingling. In
yeah.
There.
Okay.
It just keeps leaving like down my leg.
Yeah. Praise God.
Yeah. God is good. Right.
Amen. Who else has a problem in your body? Who else is sick? Something wrong with you? Who has something wrong with your brain? Oh, sorry. Someone else here. A physical problem?
I've been dealing with this ankle.
You got ankle? Stand up.
Keep rolling the same one.
Stand up. You guys pray for him. I want you to pray for him right now. In Jesus' name, right now.
Right now. Shut up.
Oh yeah. It was like completely stiff. Yep. Couldn't move it. Barely walk on it.
Come on. Praise God. Thank God. All right. I encourage you, find somebody that's sick. Pray for them. But overall, you press in for dominion. God is good, huh?
Yes.
All right.